We are so glad you could join us today. We believe that God has a word for you, and every time the word of God is spoken, it does not return to him void without accomplishing everything he has sent it out to achieve. Our prayer for you today is that as you listen to this word, may the Spirit of the Lord quicken it into rhema, and may he help you to catch what it is that he would say to you today. God bless you.
Amen. Why don't we just be seated, and if I could have my Bible, please. Thank you so much, sir. I've enjoyed your playing. Most playing in the background annoys me, but that's really good. Man, you're really good. I like you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to John. And maybe if we could just move this table away, I'd be really grateful. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to this woman while the disciples are going to find food. And at the end of the story, we get this. Verse 35, do not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, but he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Fields are white for harvest. I hear people preach from that, and it's a great passage. But what they fail to do, I think often, is actually preach the reason of what was happening. Because actually what was happening was the whole town, the whole city was coming out, and the disciples are back with Jesus, and he's looking out and he's seeing the town or the city coming out to meet him, and he says the fields are white, ready for harvest. But what was the reason that the fields were white, right, ready for harvest? That's the question. Well, actually, what transpired was a discussion with this woman. Now, Jesus clearly got what we call a word of knowledge. It was a supernatural gift of understanding about this woman, that actually she'd had many men, and the man that she was living with wasn't actually her husband. And so he sort of starts up this brilliant little conversation with her, and eventually she says, verse 16, and he said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have, he's not your husband. You've said truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And so she starts up this religious discussion. Now, you see, you've got to understand something. See, he got a word of knowledge about that woman. Now, he didn't come to her and say this, look, lady, God has shown me, you know, that you've had all these men. You're an adulterer and you're a fornicator and you're going to go to hell. No, he just said to her, go and call your husband. Eh? Now, she says, well, you know, he's not my husband. And he says, actually, you've well said. Then came the word of knowledge. Now, get what then happened. She goes back into the town and she says this, come and see the man that told everything about my life. And so that suddenly the town comes out and comes to meet Jesus. And he says, look, the fields are white, ready for harvest. So the thing was, the town came out to meet Jesus because of a word of knowledge, because of a conversation that he had with a woman. You see, we are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside us, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, But because we don't handle it quite right, or we think that somehow this is difficult and it's hard, and, you know, I'm too embarrassed to say, man, God has shown me this about you and that about you, we miss the opportunity. And so we're looking all the time for the next key to evangelism, whereas I say to you, the key for evangelism and for kingdom activity lies inside of you. You've already got it. You just got to get it out there. But the way you get it out there is actually easy. By asking a question, making a statement. I, just like Jesus, I was in Houston and I was having a meal with a group of pastors and for lunch, and they were talking. And, you know, my attention span is a bit short, and I just, too much talking, you know, I got to do something, I got to get out of there. And they'd been going for a couple of hours, so I decided that I'd go and get out of the where they were talking, and I went to the bar. And there was no one else at the bar, just the bar and the restaurant. I didn't go to a big pub, right? Get that clear. For those of you that are reacting right now, be gone. And so I sat down and I said to the guy, I said, I'd like to have a virgin colada. Now, for those of you who are now reacting and thinking I'm getting all booze with alcohol, no. A virgin colada is a non-alcoholic, beautiful coconut drink. It's just fantastic. And so in hot weather, it's a place to go, and it was 33 degrees outside, so I'm having my virgin colada. And and there was no one else at the bar. I'm sitting at the bar having my virgin colada, and I asked him a question. I said, do you enjoy what you're doing? This is only a few weeks ago, so this is recent stuff. And he said, no, not really. And I said to him, what are your aspirations? What is the thing that you'd like to do if you were given the opportunity? And he said, well, I'm a musician. And he said, I would love to actually do recordings and work in a recording studio. Now, he was just talking to the right man in all of Australia called Brent Douglas. Because it just so happens that my son Reuben is right now building our recording studio. It just so happens that my son Reuben got a job with the top recording studio some years ago, and it just so happens that I knew how to get a job in a recording studio by working for 6 months for no money in the recording studio, and then that will give favor and that will get you a job in an industry that nobody can get a job in. So he just happened to be talking to the right person. So I said to him, I said, well, that's interesting. So I told him about my son. And I said, and he said to me, he said, yes, he said, I know. He said, I know that's the only way that you can get a job in a recording studio is to go and work for them for nothing. And then after a while you get a job. I said, absolutely. So I said, sir, why don't you let me pray for you? And before he could say no, I said, just take my hand. And I said, Father, over the bar, over my non-alcoholic pina colada, right? I'm praying for him, and I'm saying, Father, I just pray that you will do great favor for this man, that you will open up the opportunity for him to do it. Now, that's all I did. I walked away. Now, I've not heard from that guy ever since. I didn't give him my phone number or anything. But you see, the other Christians that were there, they were a bit traumatized by the fact that I was sitting at a bar with a white drink in my hand. They were saying, you shouldn't do that. What if someone took a photograph of you and it got splashed all over the papers? And I'm thinking, well, so what? Wouldn't worry me. And I said to them, yeah, but here's the issue. I got to pray for someone who doesn't know Christ and give them a vision, and they start to connect with the power of God over a bar, and so they've now been given hope, and I guarantee you that the day will come when they will remember that a man of God came and he prayed for me and it changed my life. It activated a vision. That's all you need to do. See? Now, did I have a word of knowledge? No. But I did have some wisdom. And I did take an opportunity, and I did pray for a man that doesn't know Christ, because I've got a river inside of me that flows out of me. Let me tell you a story in the Bible. We could turn to it, but we won't bother because we know it well. Four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are taken into captivity from Israel into Babylon. Now, you've got to understand something, that when the Babylonians ransacked Jerusalem, I mean, they killed, raped, they saw unbelievable suffering. And now they're dragged to Babylon as slaves. But do you remember the story? The Nebuchadnezzar ordered to get the wisest people to come and train them up in the ways of the Babylon courts and education. And these four guys were chosen. And what happened was, they said, look, we don't want to eat your food. And the guard who was looking after them and teaching them, he was really upset. He said, look, if you go all skinny and sickly and so on, I'm going to get killed for this. And they said, just don't worry about it. Let's have a test after 10 days and see who's the healthiest. Because they didn't want to defile themselves with the food. You remember the story? So they eat their vegetables, you know, vegetarian, vegan, you know, God bless the vegetarians, but not for me. And they were eating the stuff for 10 days and they were fatter and they were healthier and they were wiser. So they continue on in this little drama, looking, eating their food and doing their stuff. Now, let's just have a look at it in Daniel 1. I want to read you something. And it's Daniel chapter 1, and I want to show you something that is so radically amazing that if you get this tonight, it will change your life. I really believe it. If you get this, verse 17, and as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them, all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all of his realm. 10 times better. He found them 10 times better. He found them 10 times better. See, the Holy Ghost is in the business of making you 10 times better than everybody else around you. You thought that your future was dependent upon a great education, that you needed to have some good luck somewhere around your life, that maybe someone would recognize you and promote you, and so you're hoping that would happen. But I want to tell you something. There is a river inside of us. There is an anointing inside of us, and that anointing is in the business of making each one of us 10 times better. 10 times better the school teacher, 10 times better the politician, 10 times better the business person, 10 times better the laborer, 10 times better the warehouse worker, 10 times better the secretary, 10 times better the manager. The Holy Ghost is in the business of making you 10 times better. You might think that you're average. You might be average today, but if you get to understand this, you will no longer be average, because as the Spirit of God works inside of you, He makes you better than everybody else in your family, in your community, in your workplace. He makes you 10 times better than everybody else. That's what God's into. That's His business. In Ephesians, He says that He gives to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I tell you, He wants to upgrade your wisdom. He wants to upgrade your revelation to make you 10 times better. And the Spirit of God does it. See, this is what makes us advantageous, because we have this spirit, this anointing, this power inside of us. But it does something else. It upgrades our ability to problem solve. So where your boss at work is struggling with a problem, you can get the answer because he's made you 10 times better. He's given you 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. He's given you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's given you 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost in order to ensure that you are positioned to be 10 times better than everybody else around you. I have in my church all these IT experts. You know, IT, it's like internet. Who's IT people? You know, poor people. And, you know, I said to all my IT guys, I said, righto, we're going to go up on the cloud. Some of you don't know what that means. It just basically means that I float in the year. No. It means going up on the internet with everything. We save $25,000 a year by going up on the cloud, by the way. None of them wanted to do it because this was in the early days of the cloud. But I felt the Lord say, tell them, put us up on the cloud. Now everybody's going up on the cloud. Anyway, it's another story. Before we had gone up on the cloud, we had a server. And as churches do, as you grow a little bit and trouble is it was corrupting all the time. Now, I've got to tell you, I've got guys who are experts in IT. They've got their own businesses. They're very influential. I've got computer programmers and all sorts of stuff. So these guys know what they're talking about. But the server was crashing every day. And I walk in, I think it was on a Tuesday night, and there were about 6 or 7 of my IT guys who were working on trying to find why the server kept crashing. And I thought, this is bizarre. They've been working at this for weeks. We've now got every IT guy who knows anything about servers and computers in my office trying to sort the problem out. Now, I know nothing about servers. Well, I know a little bit. I know about DNSs. And I know about the hopelessness of Windows 8, which I can't stand, and, you know, a few things like that. But I thought, man, this is hopeless. So I said to the guys, I want you to pull all the IT guys together. And I said, we're going to pray and ask God to show what the problem is, right? So we gathered around in the front office, and within 20 seconds of praying, one word came to my mind, connections. So I stopped the prayer meeting, us praying, and I said to all my great experts on servers and all of that stuff and DNSs and whatever else, and I said, the problem is in connections. So my friend who's got the big company on IT, within a few minutes went to the server and he found that there was a connection, like a physical connection of one of the wires that was loose. He tightened it up, and that was the solution to the IT problem with my server. Now, here I am, 10 times better than you guys who think you know all about servers and computers. Hallelujah! I felt pretty good about that. I suggested that it was worthwhile employing me at about $150,000 to $200,000 a year because I'm 10 times better than all my computer guys. No, it's Jesus that's given me a river, that's given me the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that's given me 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to make me better than everybody else around about. So you think that you need to be more intelligent, or that you need to have better opportunities, that you need to be smarter, maybe wear different clothes or whatever. You think it's all around that stuff. I want to tell you that your future is not tied up from other people, because the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or west, but the promotion comes from the Lord. He's the one that takes you and makes you someone who is great and 10 times better than everybody else. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your economic situation is right now. I don't care whether you think you've got opportunity or no opportunity. If you've got faith, faith has the ability to break through and to bring you into places that you know that you're not in and make you 10 times better than everybody else. But you've got to start changing your attitude. 10 times better. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he's a bit smart, old Nebuchadnezzar. Don't get to that place without being smart. So he says to all the conjurers and the magicians and all the wise people, he didn't get Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at this point. He got everybody else. And he says, I want you to tell me the dream and its interpretation. And they said, oh, but king, you need to tell us the dream and then we'll have the interpretation. Now, any idiot can get the interpretation if they're told the dream. And it doesn't matter. It might be right. It might be wrong. It doesn't matter. You can say, well, I'm a man of God. I've got the interpretation. Now, he knew that. He knew the manipulation that would go on. See? So he said, we're going to tell you the dream. We'll know if you really know and heard from God. If you get the dream and the interpretation. They said, no, and they're arguing with him. And he basically says, listen, guys, get the dream, and then you can give me the interpretation. Well, of course, they couldn't do it. And so he says, well, kill the lot. You know, I often feel like that with some of the prophetic people around me. I hear some of that. I was with this great, great ministry, absolutely great, and dreams. This person has dreams, And the Lord connected us up, and I'd say, they found out I was a prophet, and so they'd tell me their dream, and I'd say, what do you think it is? And they'd say, such and such. I'd say, well, I don't agree. It's this. And then their minds would be blown. They said, that's amazing. And I did this for about 6 months until I got them to actually interpret dreams properly. So there's a lot of people who interpret dreams. It's a lot of garbage. Now, anyway, these guys... I just wanted to say that, and, you know, that's worth $5 to somebody here tonight. And no, please. And they're about to get killed. And so the guard comes and tells Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to kill you. And he says, why? And he finds out about this. He says, listen, go to the king and just say, give us the night. And so overnight, God speaks to Daniel. And he gives Daniel the dream, and then he gives him the interpretation. And the next day, Daniel's taken before Nebuchadnezzar. And he starts to explain a sort of introduction to Nebuchadnezzar, the fact that he's just a man, but God's awesome, and he serves the one and true living God, and all of that sort of stuff, and just explains who he is. And he says, now, king, here's your dream. Now, the king is absolutely stunned. And then he says, now, king, here's the interpretation. Now, that stunned the king further as he heard the interpretation. And, I mean, Daniel's got his attention. But I want to show you something. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 2. I want to read something to you. Now, you've got to understand something. See, Nebuchadnezzar had just been the most hateful ruler imaginable. A Hitler type. Right? They'll give you some idea. But Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego kept their attitude right. Just like Joseph, who had every reason to be sour and bitter and to murder his brothers, but he kept his attitude right in the face of unbelievable affliction. And this is what it says in verse 46. The Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. Then the king answered Daniel and said, surely, now listen to what he says, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. since you've been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made requests of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon, while David was at the king's court. Now, let me put that to you again. I'll just read it to you. Just listen to it. Surely your God is a God of gods, and God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. That's the equivalent, in my reckoning, to Nebuchadnezzar confessing Jesus Christ. That is at least, at the very minimum, it's his acknowledgement of the one and true living God on the earth. God himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth. At the very least, he's confessing that. But if it was in the modern church today, I think he would be saying, indeed, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the one who defeated sin and death, the one who's broken the power of the devil, the one who's shown the way that says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man's come to the Father but through me. I think that's what was going on. All because of a man having understanding given by the Holy Spirit. Essentially, a revival comes to Babylon through that experience. Now, it got corrupted a bit later on, but at that moment in time, everything changed because now we have the equivalent of Christians being right up there in the courts of authority and political positioning that had influence over the whole of Babylon. That's what happened for Joseph. See, I tell you, one gift of the Holy Ghost, one insight in the Spirit, one word of knowledge, one Holy Ghost revelation of secrets, it can transform a community and a nation. And it doesn't, it's not dependent on your education or on your financial position or upon your background or what sort of family you came from or what hope that you see for your future. It is dependent upon us having a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost who brings a river of life into all of our lives. So my friend David was preaching in Pakistan, and there happens to be a church there that is right in the middle of the Muslim community in Lahore. And a guy's doing a phenomenal job there. And my friend David, Mike Connell's son, David Connell, was preaching to 2,000 leaders, a large church, Christian church in Lahore, Pakistan. And he's preaching to 2,000 leaders. And in the middle of preaching to 2,000 leaders, his interpreter dies because he's speaking about the spirit of death. So the spirit of death manifested on the interpreter and killed him. Now, there were doctors in the congregation who came up on stage and they tested the guy, and indeed he was dead, right? Now, I wonder if you were there and you were the interpreter, what you would do. Probably in New Zealand, we'd probably ring 111, get an ambulance, get him taken to hospital, and then we'd have a big court case about how we kill somebody on stage in front of a Christian congregation. Okay. Now, my friend didn't do that. And probably in the middle of Pakistan, it's not a good place to have your interpreter die in front of 2,000 people. That's not a good thing. So instead of calling an ambulance, and the doctors had proven he was dead, he turns to the guy and he says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come back to life now. He came back to life. Now, I know this to be a fact because I've talked to the pastor, Pastor Anwar, and I've talked to David who did this, so this is not secondhand knowledge over the internet, which is generally about 20-hand knowledge and a lie anyway. And So the guy stands up and he continues to interpret. Who wants to interpret for me? Now here's the deal. Within one or two nights, there were now 25,000 people at those meetings. In the middle of Muslims, people getting healed and miracles happening, people in their thousands coming to know Christ because of a gift of the Holy Ghost. Because an average New Zealander, like every one of us here, is an average Zimbabwean plus a few extras, prayed for a man that died, and he came to life. See, it's just a river that's flowing. And it doesn't flow because of a seminar or an open heavens conference. It flows because you choose to let it flow. Because you choose to reach out to somebody who's in need. Because you say, I'm no longer going to be embarrassed or whatever. If I get a chance, I'm going to show you something, how the devil has caused Christians to bow their head in defeatism. I may do it tomorrow if I get a chance. And all to do is spiritual warfare. But you see, I see that all over my nation. I see it all over the Western world. People bowed down. And in the middle of it all, I drive to my hotel last night where I was staying near the airport to see that, and I'd never known, there was a school, a Muslim school, and there were hundreds if not thousands of Muslims in my city, right, getting education and with all the leaders and so on there. And I think, man, where is the church? Our heads have got bowed low because we think we haven't got the goods, but actually you've got the goods inside of you. And it's just find a need and be bold enough to offer to pray, and you'll be surprised what the Lord would do. See? Let me finish off by just giving you a little story. It's just simple. My youth pastor, we've had a few problems with our youth, and it hasn't been breaking through like I would like, except he recently was given favor in our intermediate schools. Now, intermediate schools are sort of 12, 13-year-olds. That's 11, 12, 13-year-olds. And he's ended up getting favor amongst about two or three of the largest intermediate schools. It amounts to just under 2,000 young people. And so he got a bus, brought them to our venue, did a lot of games, preached to them, prayed for a few. The power of God hit them who didn't know Jesus Christ, because he's got a river inside of him, and they are shaking under the power of God. But 40 of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. It's all out there, just waiting for you. With the river that's inside of you. Let's all stand. The Spirit of God is moving at the moment. I have had the delight of, about 6 weeks ago, stepping into a power flow. And it was all coincidental, not coincidental, but it all was in timing with some things that happened 20 years ago. And I haven't seen the power of God at this level for 20 years. I wondered whether it would cross international borders. And so I was in Houston, Texas a couple of weeks ago, and in a church, Houston Revival Center. And the power of God hit that place in the most dramatic way. It was absolutely incredible. So I know the power of God has breathed across the nation of New Zealand, and I'm sure for you tonight at this conference in a fresh way. But it doesn't actually matter what happens, because a great tragedy is unfolding in the church in the West at the moment, where people are taking the power of God and they're absorbing it upon themselves, and they're not understanding that it was meant to go out. And I feel as a prophet, more than I've ever felt before, I have got to address the issue of self-indulgence of the power of God. This is a filling up station for you and I to then go out. And if we miss this, we will miss the day of visitation that is upon us. And I have been involved in about 4 or 5 major moves of God from the 1970s. And in every instance, it was turned and internalized, and it became about us and not about the harvest that was out there. And I've said enough is enough. There is a move that I'm calling a glory move. And they're going up into the 28th heaven and talking to Moses and Elijah, which I think's a load of garbage. And I'll speak against it to the day I die. And they're having these awesome conferences, but it's not getting people saved. And it's not bringing the harvest in. And I'm saying that God is giving us a second chance, a second opportunity, a second outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I think the window is but short. And if we muck it up this time, it'll be another 20 years before the power comes again. Because it seems to take about 10 or 15 years for the deception of self-indulgence coming upon us. And then we have to get rid of that and become hungry again for the power of God. But is there a people that would say, we will take that river out of our four corners and out of our community? Will there be a people who will pray for the sick, who will operate words of prophecy, who will operate the gifts of the Holy Ghost in their community, in their families, at their workplace, in their community? Is there a people, or will you go self-indulgent? My prayer is that you wouldn't do it. My prayer is that my church won't do it. That's why I was pleased to say 40 people just got saved the other day. Oh, we've got into the community, and where people who were drug addicts and alcoholics are getting saved now. And they're thanking God for the care force recovery that we're doing. And they're coming and they're getting their lives in order. We're feeding the hungry and they're getting their lives in order. And people are coming to church and they're getting out of that lifestyle. They're getting redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're coming into discipleship with Jesus Christ. I am determined that the river will not be a self-indulgent thing, but that it will just power us up to go out into the community for Jesus. Now, I think Open Heaven's conference is about open heaven. Get the power of God into you. And I will do that. I'll do everything I can that God, however God graces me and favor He gives me, I'll pray for people, release the power of God, do whatever I can do. But I want to tell you, friends, that it's not good enough to just keep it to ourselves. We got to see that there's a purpose for it, that God wants to move mightily by His Spirit and release you into the community. I am so determined that in my church and in my nation, the power of God would just come and bring revival. Sir, lift your hands to God. Here's the power of God coming all over you. Lift your hands. Take it in the Spirit tonight. Now with the Holy Ghost, take it. A filling station, that's all tonight is. It's just a filling station. Now touch you with the Holy Ghost. Now, with the power of God. Sarah, I want you to come out here. Is this your wife? Are you? No, just you. Come out here. Lift your hands to God. The power of God to come all around you. Father, touch him. Now, with the Holy Ghost. Stand him up again, would you please? Now, with the power of God, take it. More in the Holy Ghost. I like you. Power of God. Father, let there be a promotion in the Spirit for people here tonight. Sir, lift your hands to God. Here's the Holy Ghost for you right now. Now with the Holy Ghost. Father, touching people by the Spirit right now. Sir, lift your hands to God. Here's the power of God. You ready? Father, come and touch them with fresh anointing. Now in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, I believe in the power of the laying on of hands and impartation. Changes your life, you know, if you understand it. Here's the power of God coming all over you. I feel it right now. Fire of God fall. Fire of God fall. Now in the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands to God. Here it is right now. I say encounters with the Holy Ghost in the new dimensions of empowerment. Now. Dear, lift your hands to God, would you? Here comes the power of God right now. Right now, let the fire of God come right now. Right now. Right now. Here's the anointing. Now in the Holy Ghost. Dear, here's the power of God for you right now. Lift your hands to God. Open up your heart right now. Spirit of God, fill her. Fill her like she's not been filled before with encounters with you. Now, in the name of Jesus. Dear, lift your hands to God. Here comes the Spirit of God. Here it is. 1, 2, 3. Now! Sir, lift your hands to God. Here comes the Spirit of God. Receive it. Here it comes. There it is, the weight of it right now all over him. See, I believe the Spirit of God wants to touch every one of us. Now, take it in the Spirit. This is such an open group of people. The Spirit of God is here. Lift your hands to God. This is the opening of the conference. This is just the beginning. There's so much more that is going to happen here. But Lord, we open up the realm of the Spirit now in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands to the Lord, dear. Here comes the power of God right now. Jesus, let's not just sing. I don't want you to sing, because if you sing, it just changes your focus. And I just want you to be in a receptive mode, okay? Just a receptive. Lift your hands to God. Here comes the Spirit of God. I say encounters with God take you into new territories in the Spirit now. Oh. Sir, with the glasses right up there, here comes the power of God. You ready, sir? It's coming over your right shoulder. Right now, touch him with the Holy Ghost. Father, get him right now. Father, just filling him with supernatural power right now. Right now, right now. New territories in the spirit realm. Had a group of people with me over the weekend. I took them into encounters with the Holy Spirit, just like we're doing now. Mighty, powerful impartation and visitations of the Spirit of God. But you know, I had a man that I've known for a long time in our church come to me. And he said, I have a secret that I've never told anybody. And he began to talk about how for years he was sexually abused by his cousins. And he said, but as I had an encounter with God, it lifted and I got healed. Amazing. He said, I've never told anybody this. This is the first time I've spoken to anybody about it. And his life is transformed. Because a moment in the Spirit of God, everything can change. Father, bring encounters with you right now. Now, touch him. Right now. More! More! More power! Here comes the power of God for you right now, dear. Father, right now, lift your hands to the Lord. Here comes the Spirit of God. When I put my hands on you, you're going to feel the power of God come all over you, right there. Father, touch you right now. Oh, Rabbi Shishan, Father, touch you right now. Right now. Oh, Rabbi, now. 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 Take him, take him, take him, take him deeper, deeper, deeper. Oh, Rabbi Diyavah Shishan, give her that new authority right now in the Spirit. That lady in the orange, you just lift your hands to God. The Spirit of God coming all around you. I just see it coming all over you right now. Father, touch her. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. Sir, lift your hands to God. Let the Spirit of God just come all around you right now. Father, just come and touch him with your life-transforming power. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's here right now. Right now. You feel the atmosphere starting to really open in the Spirit here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to God, sir. Just open up your heart right now. Touch him. Now with the Holy Ghost. I want the three of you here just to hold your hands, would you? Now here comes the Spirit of God right now. Just begin to receive the fire of God upon these women right now. More. More. Oh, thank you. You'd feel it just come down just right then. Power of God. Young man, lift your hands to God. Just come over here. I want you to come over here. I want to get my hands on you. Thank you, Lord. Rabbi of Ashishan. Here comes the Spirit of God right now. Now in the Holy Ghost. Go deeper. Deeper. Put your hands to the Lord, dear. The Spirit of God just coming all around you. Holy Ghost, touch you. Here it comes. Now, take her in the Spirit, Lord. Put your hands to God. Come over here. I want to lay my hands on you. Expansion and increase. Here it is, sir. Now, in the Spirit, I release it to you right now. Lift your hands to God. Open up your heart right now. It's such a desire for new things in God. The Lord has seen it, and he's just heard a cry that has erupted from you that says, I am dissatisfied with my experience and even with my understanding of the Word of God and the ways of God. And you just said, Lord, I'm going to position myself wherever I need to be. I've got to have this cry in my heart satisfied. And Father, I pray for a power encounter now in the Holy Ghost that would bring a fulfillment of desire deep within him. Dear, can you come over here, please? Lift your hands to God. I lay my hands on you, the power of God is going to come all over you. Is your husband here? Are you married? Your husband, is she married? Passed away, did he? Right there. Well, I tell you, there's an authority that God has given to you. I can feel it all over you. Father, just bring it forth in the call that you've got in a new dimension. Now, in the Holy Ghost, touch right in the lady behind the shoulder. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord, dear. Would you just come forward here a bit? Father, just touch her right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, touch her right now. I tell you, the Spirit of God breaks disappointments off you. In the name of Jesus, I break its power. The spirit of disappointment, loose it. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Around about 5 years ago, actually, there was a great betrayal that seemed to happen in your life. And tonight, I speak an end to the impact of that. I break its power off you. Now, in the name of Jesus, loose it from her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Would you like me to pray for you? Just lift your hands. Just open up your heart right now. Touch and bring forth the purposes of God. Father, I pray that you would make straight the crooked paths of life in the name of Jesus. Now, touch in Jesus' name. Young man, lift your hands to God. Here's the Spirit of God coming all around you. Touch him right now. I need to get to you. Thank you, Lord. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Right now, right now. Take the Spirit. Now. In the Holy Ghost. Put your hands to the Lord, sir. Just give him more right now.